We'll turn in God's Word, please, this evening to 1 Samuel and the chapter 16. 1 Samuel and the chapter 16. Last Lord's Day afternoon, we looked at the first part of this chapter, where Samuel was instructed to go to Bethlehem, and there he was to anoint the Lord's chosen to be king. And that, of course, was David. And remember how he was out in the fields. No one thought of the necessity to call David. The one that was despised was the one that the Lord had chosen. And we'll read from the verse 12. And he sent and brought him in, that is, Samuel sent and brought David in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. And let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favour in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Amen. We'll end there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word. Turning again to 1 Samuel 16, and we'll be taking into account all the words from verse 13 down to the end of the chapter, but our text really is found at the end of verse 18. And speaking of David, it says of David there, And the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. The Lord was with David. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word. Let us seek the Lord's face, please. Our gracious Father, how we do need thee this evening. Without thee, we can do nothing. And Lord, we pray that as we meditate upon thy word, that thou wilt be pleased to take the very word that is before us, and Lord, that you'll apply it very definitely to each one of our hearts. We pray, dear Lord, that these words will be a means of strengthening for each one of us in the meeting, a means of challenge, Lord, a means of encouragement. Now take thy word, we pray. Give that mighty enablement of the Holy Spirit of God both to preach and to hear. We pray in Christ's great name. Amen. When God had instructed Samuel to go to Bethlehem to anoint his chosen to be king, the Lord had said to Samuel, I have provided me a king. We looked at that last time at the end of verse 1. I have provided me a king. And significant then, in verse 17, Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man. And little did Saul know that the man that would be provided in light of that request, provide me now a man, was the very man that God had said of, I have provided me a king. The man that was provided then for Saul was the man that God had provided for himself. Now, one of these servants of Saul had heard about David. He says that he had seen him, and he had many wonderful things to say about him. If you look at verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, or very skillful in playing. He was very skillful musically, and a mighty valiant man. He was a man of great strength and physical ability. And surely it's significant there that having spoken of his musical ability and accomplishments, we immediately read of great strength. Though David was musical, he was not a sissy. He was what we might call a manly man. And too often we think of things like music as being the work of a woman. And while, of course, it is a very important area of ministry for the lady, it is something in which a man can certainly express even his masculinity. Certainly David did. He was also a man of war. You see, that is the next phrase, and a man of war. Now, different suggestions have been made as to what was being referred to there. Some see it as a reference to David going against the lion and the bear that he himself talked about in the next chapter. And so showing himself as a man capable of going against the lion and the bear, the servant could draw the conclusion he is a man of war. Others suggest that Philistine plunderers had come towards Bethlehem and David had shown himself to be a man of war against them. Certainly he was a man with that ability. It then says that he was prudent in matters, or in the margin, prudent in speech. It could also be prudent in words. And so he was prudent in how he used his tongue. But he also had a very special capability in putting words together. And we know that, of course, in the book of Psalms, that he had a great ability in composing poetry. He was a man prudent in words, skillful in that. It then says that he was a comely person. He was attractive. And surely that's significant. Remember how, as the older sons of David came before Samuel, Samuel looked upon them and he saw their stature, their countenance, and he was convinced, surely, this must be the man. But it wasn't. The Lord doesn't look in the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. And yet, isn't it interesting that the man whose heart was right before God, he wasn't an ugly man. And so though godly people may be ugly, it's not always the case. Here was God's man, and he was a man that was attractive to look upon. It says that in verse 12, when David was brought in, he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. So we have all these wonderful credentials about David, but at the end of verse 18, we have the most important detail of all. The Lord is with him.
the Lord is with him.
And that statement is actually repeated concerning David. If you look at chapter 18, verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Chapter 18, verse 14, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Then chapter 18, verse 28, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. And so like Joseph, where we have that statement repeated of him, the Lord was with him. So we find this in the life of David. Here is another statement that we can associate with him. He was the man after God's own heart, but also he was the man that we can say of, the Lord was with him. Now it is significant that these men who made this statement, the Lord is with him, were not necessarily men who were spiritually minded. They were, I believe, worldly wise men, men of worldly wisdom. And yet, they did have some perception of spiritual truths. For if you look with me at verse 15, Saul's servant said unto him, unto Saul, behold now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. And isn't it interesting that as they saw Saul disturbed as he was, they weren't saying this is because of some physical complaint or this is because of your diet. Of course, those things can cause distress and disturbance. But they were able to put the finger in the matter where it was as far as Saul was concerned. An evil spirit from God troubles you. I say I think these were men of worldly wisdom, because though they recognized that Saul's imbalance was spiritual, they didn't recommend that he would go to the Lord for mercy. And isn't it interesting that they could identify the problem correctly? An evil spirit has come from the Lord. And yet they weren't saying, go to the Lord for help in this matter. And I believe that for Saul it was too late. He was a reprobate. He had turned his back upon God. But nonetheless, these servants did not give that exhortation, go to the Lord. Rather, they said, music will help. Which did. But it didn't get to the very root of the problem. I wonder if these men made this recommendation of the music to save their own skin. Because they could see that Saul was becoming increasingly imbalanced, disturbed, irritated. And they recognized that that environment in which they were working was becoming a dangerous one. That Saul could turn in the spur of a moment in anger. They feared for their own safety. And so not so much thinking about Saul's needs, but thinking of their own. And this is only my suggestion. The servant said, let's have someone come to play music in order to calm you. And this evening I want to take this statement, the Lord is with him, and draw some important inferences from this portion about David and what this means. The Lord was with him. So the Lord was with David, and I'm drawing some inferences from this. First of all, I want us to see that David walked with God. David walked with God. And so when it says the Lord was with him, this surely is included, this idea is included in that statement. The Lord was with David. David walked with God. And surely there is a sense in which we could say the Lord is with all men. Because the Lord is omnipresent. Nobody can escape from the presence of God. Remember how Jonah sought to escape and he couldn't. If you look at verse 13, it says there, and towards the end of the verse, that having been anointed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now what the courtier then was saying when he said the Lord is with David was that there were some manifestations of the truth of this. The Spirit of the Lord had come upon him, and it was evident that the Spirit had come upon him. And even if that servant in the palace knew nothing about what had happened as far as the anointing was concerned, he did know this, that all the evidence in David's life pointed to the fact that the Spirit of the Lord was with him. Now in contrast then, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon David, but in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And is there a contrast more stark than that? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David, but the Spirit of God departed from Saul. There's much discussion among commentators about Saul. Was he a saved man or not? Some take the view that Saul was a saved man, but out of disobedience he got away from the Lord. He no longer knew the reassurance of the Lord's blessing. He grieved the Spirit, and the sense of God's presence was removed. And some that take that view will quote from 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Verse 10, and when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And some will argue then, on the basis of these verses, that since Saul had another heart, that this is speaking of his regeneration. And the Spirit came upon him and he was given that gift as far as prophecy was concerned. There's another view that says Saul was not a believer. And again they will point to these same words and say that it doesn't say Saul had a new heart. He had another heart. So there was some sort of a change. But it fell short of true conversion. And his disobedience then exposed him as a false professor. And perhaps the discussion about Saul will continue right until the Lord comes again. I personally take the view that Saul was a reprobate, that he was not truly a converted man. I believe he's one of those that's in view in Hebrews chapter 6. He tasted of the heavenly gift, was made a partaker of the Holy Ghost, but then he put himself to an open sheep. I believe he's one of those the Lord talked about, that there are those that say, Lord, Lord, those that speak about doing wonderful things in the Lord's name, including as Saul could talk about prophesying in the Lord's name. The Lord says of them, I never knew. But coming back to this issue, here is the contrast. The Spirit came upon David, but the Spirit departed from Saul. And while the Spirit departed from Saul, God still saw everything about Saul. So what was the great distinction? Well, here is one of them. David walked with God. Saul most certainly did not. David was one of those blessed men of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And David then, he had wisdom, because he meditated in the Lord's law day and night. He delighted in the law of God. And that delight is part of his walk that he had with the Lord. David's Christianity was very practical. He spent time in communion with the Lord privately. but it was demonstrated publicly. We can surely assume that this servant that says, I have seen this son of Jesse, David, that he didn't actually know about David's secret communion with God, but he saw what followed in David's public life. David's public life was an expression of his secret life. Remember what David did? He worked with the sheep. After that anointing, he went back to the sheep because Saul, when he does send for David, he says at the end of verse 19, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. The Lord was with David, and David was with the sheep. Now, if you think of that, David was there out in those fields at Bethlehem looking after the sheep. And as he was engaged in that particular labor, he was multitasking. I often think that's something that men don't have the ability to do. Maybe men are experiencing something of this degeneration. But David certainly was one that could multitask. As he was watching the sheep, he was engaged in another business. He was practicing his harp. There's only one way to become proficient in a musical instrument. You must practice. David practiced his harp. As he watched over the sheep, he must also have practiced his sling. Again, to be proficient in that. And I see then David's practical Christianity. He was not a lazy man. He was industrious. And he understood that industry and godliness go hand in hand together. Laziness and Christianity cannot and ought not sit together. The Christian is not to be lazy. A lazy Christian is out of step with God. David then, he was one who walked with God. He knew sweet communion with God. And as we seek to learn then in the life of David, here is something that we ought to learn. That if we are to know the blessing of this statement, the Lord is with us, then we must know that sweet communion with God. We must walk with him. But David not only walked with God, I want to say secondly that David waited upon God. And if I remember when David was anointed, he went back to his sheep. Anointed king, and yet he didn't go to the palace. He went back to those fields. He went back to that work of watching over the sheep. And as he went back, he had to wait upon the Lord for the Lord to open up that door to the throne in God's time. Now it would transpire that it was going to be many years before David would sit upon the throne. Many trials would have to be faced first. But David had to wait upon the Lord. He went back to the sheep. He didn't try to force the door open to the palace. Now, some might think that waiting on God is useless. Some might say, I'm not going to wait upon God because nothing happens. But that's not how David experienced it. As David waited upon God, he discovered that it is most wise to wait upon the Lord. And in a most marvelous way, David was brought into the palace. And though initially as he was brought to the palace, it was not to be king, but surely this time in the palace was vital for his training for future days on the throne. And this whole scene presents a marvelous picture of God's providential dealing. In God's providence, Saul was troubled. God's providence, Saul was a man that was deeply disturbed. And for whatever reason, God's providence, then the officials at the palace
recommended a musician be brought. In God's providence, one of those officials had seen David and made the suggestion that David would be the right musician for the task. Now, coming back to the issue of that recommendation, let's have a musician to come. Now, those men in the palace could have made many suggestions that day. Being men of worldly wisdom, they could have recommended go to see a witch or a conjurer. But in the providence of God, they said, let us seek out a musician. Of all the recommendations they could have made, they recommended music. God was working even through worldly-minded wisdom to have his own purposes come to pass. And you think then, as the recommendation was made, let's have a musician. Of all the musicians that were in the land at that time, this boy out in the hills of Bethlehem, the one who was despised, was the one that was chosen. This was all in the Lord's providence, everything in the Lord's sovereign control. And surely over this portion of God's word then we can write Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And as David waited upon the Lord, he loved the Lord. All things were working together for his good. Meanwhile, for Saul, the one that had rejected God, all things were working together for his destruction, evil against him. David waited upon the Lord. And surely it's significant as we learn that here, David waited upon the Lord. In Psalm 27, this is the very counsel that he gives to you and I. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's always easier to take advice of those that have actually done the very thing that they are speaking about. David can say to us tonight, wait on the Lord, for it's exactly what he did. Psalm 37, 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And that's exactly what David had done. He had committed the whole matter to the Lord. The Lord saw to it that he would bring it to pass. Now, as David waited, surely he waited calmly. He waited calmly. You think of that great contrast that we have in verse 13 and verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And as the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, Saul was troubled. He did not know peace. If the departure of the Spirit signifies torment, the coming of the Spirit signifies peace. David waited calmly. And as he waited, he did the will of God. Ye have need of patience, Hebrews 10:36. That after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Do the will of God. God will fulfill his promise in his own time. As David waited, he worked. He was active. He didn't say, I wait and therefore I'll sit here idle. He believed in divine sovereignty, but he also believed in human personal responsibility. I must labor on. David knew the Lord was with him. He walked with God. He waited upon God. And I want to say then, thirdly, that David was watched over by God. What does this mean then when it says the Lord is with him? The Lord was watching over him. And in this portion I see much evidence of the Lord's protection upon David. As David was brought to
the palace.
He was being placed, humanly speaking, in a very vulnerable position.
A young man, and he was being placed in the very presence of a man of great instability. And we come to see something of the severity of that in coming chapters. Saul was a very disturbed man. And so it says in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, I cannot fully explain what that means, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. I suggest it does mean at least this, that the Lord withdrew restraint. As the Lord withdrew his restraint, as if he was being handed over to Satan. Satan's agents were permitted to come upon Saul. Matthew Henry said, those that drive the good spirit away from them do become a prey to the evil spirit. If God and his grace do not rule us, sin and Satan will have possession of us. And does Saul grieve the Spirit of God? He welcomed, as it were, this evil spirit to come and to take possession, to take control, a higher power to control of him. David then was in a most vulnerable position because of Saul's instability. But I suggest then, secondly, he was vulnerable because of the plans God had for him. David was God's anointed. And remember, though, Saul didn't know that David was God's man. Saul did know that God had a man. If you look back in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14, and the Lord says very clearly through the prophet to Saul, now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. And Saul knew that day, God is his man. Do you think of that? Here was God's man brought right into the presence of Saul. If Saul had any inkling that that was God's man, Saul would instantly have desired his destruction. He was vulnerable because of the plans that God had for him. But only humanly speaking, God was protecting him. He was vulnerable because of Saul's instability, because of plans God had for him. Then he was vulnerable because of the ministry he was fulfilling there. For as he was brought to play that music on the harp. And taking the whole portion into account, and what is said about David, surely we can say that the music that David played there in the palace was God-glorifying music. Josephus suggests that David sung as he played. I'm not sure about that. Certainly the Bible doesn't say that. I'm not sure if Saul would have tolerated David to sing. But certainly the music that he played must have been God glorifying. And it was played before a man who had rejected God. And he had been rejected by God. And he knew he was rejected. You think of that. Here a man possessed by wicked powers. Before him, God's man plays that which is God glorifying. David was placed, humanly speaking, in a vulnerable position, but only humanly speaking. The Lord was with him. The Lord was protecting him. And surely we can say, by the way, that this portion does remind us of the great power of music. It can be used to do great good, as it did here, to calm one that was greatly troubled. Just as it can do great good, it can do terrible evil, promoting sensuality, rebellion,
And in our time, there isn't much of the music that David played, that which was common. Much of the music, even that is under the title Christian in our day, is that which goes against reverence, that which goes against a calm spirit, that which is honouring to God, the power of music. But as we come to a close, I want us to see that David stands as a great type of Christ in this particular portion. As David went to the palace in this occasion, he did not go to rule, but to be a servant. There he was, God's anointed. And yet he went as a servant, and he didn't despise it. We think of Christ as he came into this world, God's anointed Son, the one in whom the Father eternally delighted. And yet Christ made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant. David stands as a type of Christ. But then David, he went to the palace bearing gifts for men. And I haven't brought that into the message this evening, but in verse 20, Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And here David came bearing gifts for men. And even Saul, who would not partake of great spiritual blessings at David's hand, did partake of physical blessing. And isn't it true, as Christ came bearing gifts, that there were those, even in our Lord's own ministry, that benefited from his ministry? Men were healed, women healed, families changed. Today, as the gospel is preached, men and women benefit from the work of God, though some themselves will remain unconverted. David came to the palace bearing gifts. Christ came to this earth bearing gifts, and what gifts he brings in redemption, in salvation. But then finally, he came to deal with powers of wickedness. As David came into that palace, what was he encountering? An evil spirit that troubled this man. And the ministry then of David was to deal with those powers of wickedness. Now David's ministry, while it knew some success in that Saul was calmed, was insufficient to remove that evil spirit for good. But as we think of Christ, he came to deal with powers of wickedness absolutely successfully. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And as we think of this man, David, a great man, the Lord was with him. Praise God for one that is greater than he, the servant, the one bearing gifts, the one who destroys works of the devil. Praise God for the victory that there is in Jesus Christ. We trust the Lord will take his word this evening and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.